And speaking of power being out, if you had to choose to live without one power source, what would you give up?
The lights and not the telephone.
Oh. But without lights, your phone doesn't work. At least mine doesn't.
I would come back for 3 hours this week, so I know how much you depend on.
Well, do you depend on this? Could you do without that?
Yeah, it'd be kind of nice to try.
It would, sometimes.
That just consumes us.
Mm-hmm.
Go off the grid.
Yeah,
that's it. We're off the grid.
But what if you didn't have gas to power your car? Could you do without that?
It'd be hard to walk everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But we could.
But if you were not empowered by the Holy Spirit, could you be a true witness for God? And that's what the lesson is about today, but Acts chapter 2, we're talking about the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost is a festival. It's where people travel. They went to, you know, and had like a feast. I know we may not do those things today, but if we go back to last Sunday's lesson, when Jesus ascended and left his disciples, and he told them, wait, go to Jerusalem, but wait until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what we see happening today. Because in the first four verses, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in their own tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When it talks about, and I thought this was very interesting, we have to remember that they were not just, let's say, like us as a group. We all speak English. So if the Holy Spirit came upon us and we started talking in our native tongue, we would all understand. But there were different nationalities there, different ranges. And each, quote, was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in their language. But when you keep going into the lesson, we skip over into verse 5 and going forward, it's like if you were there and let's say you were of, say, Japanese nationality or Korean, but you heard everyone speaking, but you were able to interpret what they were saying. You could understand their language. Now, how strange would that be if, let's say today, someone walked in and asked Brother Clint, I want to preach, and he was not of our nationality, and he spoke in his native tongue, but the words that we heard in English. Would that not kind of raise your spirits a little bit? But we know God's purpose, that he wants his word spread everywhere. We've talked about this many a times. So, is it that we can only relate to people just like us? Or should we not be ashamed to share the word with someone different than us? But when you talk about that, are we afraid sometimes to do that because maybe we don't feel like that we've got the strength from God, that the strength of the Holy Spirit in us to be able to do that? Do we kind of step back? Because early in Genesis, and this is in talking about the Tower of Babel, it's Genesis 11, I'll just read this. It says, the whole world had one language as a common speech, and as the men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said, come, let's make bricks and bake them together, bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, if it is one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. It says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. Are we supposed to keep the Word of God to ourselves? Are we as a church supposed to just be inclusive and think that I'm okay, but once I go out these doors, I don't want anybody else to know what I know? Mm-hmm. Because like that, what happens if you try, or let's say a church tried to just be the church of God, the only church around that shared the Word of God, and we thought we had the key to heaven? Where are we going to go? We're going to die. God gives us the ability to speak. Everyone can. And in sharing His Word, is there's some questions that I thought were pretty interesting, and I'm kind of running through the lesson, and we'll tie all this together. But the people that saw these men speaking in their own native tongues, all of a sudden somebody got the idea, well, they've been partying too much and they're drunk on wine. But that was not the case. Do we as believers sometimes look at other people who are out spreading the word, proclaiming the word of God, and trying to share it with others? Do we sometimes feel like there's a little something wrong with that person? There, something's not right there, you know? Or are we guilty, and we get that guilt feeling because we're not the one out there doing what they're doing? That's the key. That's what we would hope. But have we tried that and been discouraged? And I think this is interesting, that do we as Christians get discouraged because we went out and we tried to witness and we tried to share, but the person that we were talking to turned their back on us? Is it our fault? We're doing what God wants us to do, but that person may not want to change their heart, possibly because of sin in their life that they don't want to confess. Others may not want to change their heart because they have a disbelief about the Word of God. They really don't want to touch it. They don't want to understand it. They're afraid to look at it. and making a change? Do we as human beings like to change our pattern of life as it is? We want everything to kind of just remain status quo. But what if we were called today for everyone to go out and be a witness for Christ? Would we take that challenge? Would we want to go outside and do that? Or, and this is the big word, does pride get in our way, and does pride get in the way of the person we're witnessing to? Because, I mean, if you think about it, if you had never been to church and someone knocked on your door and wanted to share the Word of God with you, what would your initial reaction be? Would you invite them in real quickly? Or would you keep the door between you and that person and just, you know, make an excuse, I've got this going on, I've got this going on, I don't have time to listen to you right now? Or are there people out there waiting for someone to do that and share with them? Mm-hmm. But this writer points out that an important principle to remember is that we're not responsible for the result of our witness. But do we as Christians sometimes take that I went out and I've done this several times and nobody that I've talked to has come to our church, I'm a failure?
Don't you think we see that attitude kind of at Highland Avenue, because we've knocked doors, and didn't see it come to fruition, and so we're kind of discouraged. It's kind of hard to go back. Well, all right, we've been there, done that. You know?
But that, like it says here, it's not that we should just brush it off, but we've done what God really wanted us to do. First is go out and plant the seed. It's up to the individual that you've witnessed to nurture it. We're here to help them nurture that, but it's up to them to come. But he also asked this question, and this is, I don't know that I've ever seen this. Have you ever seen unbelievers so curious about Jesus that they were stirred to ask questions? Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, sit down, I want to ask you a question about this, and I want to ask you a question about that? I haven't. But what if somebody came to you and was asking questions? Would you be ready? Would you be willing to sit down and share with them? We would hope so. Because we look at Peter, and we know the story of Peter, how he was chosen as to be a disciple. But we also know the story when Jesus knew he was going to be crucified. He went to Peter and told him. He said, I know that before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Was he planting that seed in Peter because he knew it was going to happen? Or did he know Peter's heart? You're doubting me. And we know the story. Peter did that. But we also know when Jesus was nailed to the cross, Peter witnessed that. He saw the suffering. He saw that. But do you think when Jesus came back, like we talked about last Sunday, when he came back to address his disciples, did Peter then realize, you know, I betrayed you. You chose me, you loved me, but now I understand.
But Jesus asked Peter three times, Peter,
do you love me?
Mm-hmm. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him.
The third time. So would there be a correlation there between denying him and then him asking him those three things again? We talk about missionaries. How strong do you think the faith of a missionary is? To be willing to want to give up everything they have and go to a foreign country, and their main focus is to share the Word of God. I've got a niece and her husband. They have decided they want to be a church planter. So during the next 2 years, they're going through whatever training and all, but at some point, they're going to have to pack up and move across country or up north somewhere. And there's questions. Their grandparents. I'm glad they want to do that, but I'm not sure. So, you know, you have to be strong. You have to be willing to serve. You have to want to take up and follow him in order for, I mean, you wouldn't be successful if you took off to plant a church, but you had no training on how to do it.
It's such a sacrifice, like you said, with the grandparents getting older. It's such a sacrifice. They have to leave that family behind and be telling how far away and not be able to get back at a moment's notice.
Because there's grandchildren.
Sure.
So, I'm sure Mama would be upset if one of hers packed up and moved somewhere. But the Pentecost and everything that has happened, you know, I go back to where the people said, some people made fun of him, verse 13, they've had too much wine. But Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. And he said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not as drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're filled with the Holy Spirit." Have you ever witnessed someone inside a church who maybe you thought was too perky or too extravagant in their wording, but was it that they were just filled with the Holy Spirit and they just wanted to share the Word? You know, do we, well, they're not doing it like the way I want it done. Mm-hmm.
You know?
But, I mean, I know I've shared this, though. I think I shared it before. We went to another service, a Christmas Eve service, and the people were, you know, singing, waving their hands. And my oldest grandson, "Why are they doing that, Pop?" And I said, "Well, they're expressing their faith. They're expressing their joy." And I look around, next thing I know, he's over there, you know. So. But it's true. I mean, I grew up in this church, and for numerous years you might hear an amen, but the first time somebody clapped in church, you know, we don't do that. But what's wrong with it? what's wrong with expressing yourself? You know, should we be like them? And instead of going into worship service and just folding our hands and just sitting there, if we feel something that moves us, why shouldn't we say amen, or why shouldn't we do that? But we don't. But a few questions, and is unity inside a church critical for the focus of the church? I mean, if we were split down the middle and this group said yes and this group said no, we're never going to go anywhere. We have to come together. What does it mean to you for a church to be focused on Jesus? Well, I mean, that's the purpose of the church, is hopefully. But is it just to come on Sunday morning, come to Sunday school, go to worship, and then leave and go home, and do nothing else the rest of the week for His work? You know, that's, I mean, and the church as a body has to come together. There's always going to be conflict, I'd say. There's going to be, and I'm guilty of this too, I'm not a strong person in going and knocking on your door and one-on-one. I might be better going with someone, but then I learn from that person and I can grow in that. Or I might be a person who can write cards. I might be a person that could stay at the church while another group is out witnessing and pray for them. So there's a lot of keys to it, a lot of factors.
Like you said, you may be blessed for one thing, and I'm blessed for something else. But that way, it all comes together as a whole. You know, it's a whole body instead of just, you know, everybody going out witnesses when that's not necessarily their thing. But the phone calls, the cards, the praying, it's all important.
Well, He said in the Bible, He gave us different talents. Some was meant to be teachers, and some of them do different other things within the body of the church.
I don't have anything. I don't think this will write. Not sure. Nah. That's not going to write. Anyway. If I had these words written on the board, if I had filled, saturated, inundated, and then waterlogged, how would that tie in with the Holy Spirit? I'll just kind of use this example that happened at our house yesterday. There's nothing with the Holy Spirit, but it can relate to it. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This water hose my wife turned on was filled with water. So it was going to saturate the ground. But it was inundated when it blew out. And then when I came home, I opened the patio door and I looked, and there's water just running everywhere. It was waterlogged. Can God's Word ever get to the point to where it's waterlogged? That it's just shared, but it just runs off? Or do we feel like, you know, nothing wrong with me? I'm listening to the preacher this morning, but I've already got enough up to here, so whatever he said just left me. So if you think about those words, and how can you tell if someone is filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to share your faith. Like Ms. Wilson said before, is how we live our lives. That lifestyle evangelism, that can give a good example.
Someone told me, a lot of people tell me I have a kind heart. I said, sometimes.
Yes. But have you ever been in a situation to where people got, as I said earlier, maybe people got curious about someone because of their actions? You know, I mean, I'm sure we've seen them, you know, people standing on the street corners with the sign, you know, God is not dead or whatever, and they're proclaiming the word. Do we think they're a little different? Or are they just so filled with the Holy Spirit that that's what God instructed them to do? You know, what if we were all that way? If everyone in here today acted the same, went out like this person standing on the street corner, would then people think there's something wrong with that church?
You know, you see folks like that sometimes, and you wonder, I've been very guilty of this, you wonder, okay, are they doing it for the right reasons? Are they out there seeking attention? Are they, you know? So, yeah.
I've seen some of my neighbors that have, and I've been walking, have signs that Christ is alive.
Oh, yeah.
I said, amen to that.
Oh, yeah.
Because do we see resistance a lot of times when you try to share the word with somebody? It goes back to what I mentioned earlier. It's either they're dealing with some major things in their lives that they don't want to admit or confess, or they just don't believe this at all and have no questions about it. But there again, that's the part that God wants to use us as individuals. Like I said, our job is to go and plant the seed. Now, we talked about this last week, a week before, when you plant a garden. You just don't till the earth, put the seed in, and walk away. You still have to nurture it. You still have to water it. But by us planting the seed, will God still be behind us watering that seed, you know, in order for it to become effective? So, okay. Yes, ma'am.
Says you're supposed to tithe to the church. No.
Let's stand and have our benediction.
So you can't take it with you.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
She just fussed about that one day.